Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Hello and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a listener-supported Bible teaching tape ministry. Our Bible teacher, Kerry Dunn, takes his mandate from the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 9, as he firmly holds to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, striving to encourage others with sound doctrine and refuting those philosophies that oppose it. And now, here is our Bible teacher, Kerry Dunn.
What's in a name? William Shakespeare had Romeo lament in his famous soliloquy, "What's in a name?" You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Well, Romeo found out, tragically, that there's an awful lot in a name. And that's the case here, too, at Sound Doctrine. Let's talk a little bit today about that name. Sound doctrine. If you keep your eyes open as you read through the New Testament, you'll see that phrase appear over and over again, sound doctrine. I remember after we decided on that for the name of this ministry, I was actually shocked to see how often that phrase appeared in my daily readings in the New Testament. Over and over again, I would see it time after time, sound doctrine. Be sure to teach sound doctrine. By the way, have you ever noticed when you get a new car, you start to see all the other cars that are like that model on the road all of a sudden? We got a silver minivan, and I started to note, there's a silver minivan, there's one. I wonder if the same process was involved in this sound doctrine concept. Well, I digress. What's in a name? Well, let's take a look at that name, sound doctrine. First word, sound. The Greek behind that word sound has as its root the same word from which we get hygienic. I think it's a very appropriate connection. Sound doctrine is hygienic doctrine. What does hygienic mean? It means health promoting, cleansing, purifying. It speaks of any measures that will help someone to attain health, preserve health, and prevent disease. Well, that's a beautiful picture of sound doctrine in Scripture. It's that which helps us attain spiritual health. It's that which helps us preserve spiritual health. And it's that which will prevent spiritual diseases in our lives. Sound hygienic doctrine. Now, I always think of a dental hygienist here. When you go to the dentist for your checkup, what does the dental hygienist do to promote health? Well, she starts scraping away at your teeth. And what is she scraping away at? Tartar, plaque, that buildup which could cause disease to take hold. Guess what? God's word, sound doctrine, does the same thing. It will scrape away our worldly buildup, so to speak. It will help scrape away spots in our lives, in our hearts, where disease, spiritual disease, could take hold. Now, sometimes it's not the most pleasant procedure to have that dental hygienist work on you. But don't you love it when it's all done? You're walking away from the dentist's office after your yearly checkup, and you know what you do? Same thing I do. You take your tongue and you rub it across your teeth, front row, bottom row, one side in the back, other side. Doesn't it feel nice? Smoothly, that tongue just glides across those teeth. They're clean. They're fresh. Your health has been attained, preserved, and disease has been prevented. That's sound, hygienic dental practices that accomplish that. And in our spiritual life, it's sound doctrine that will accomplish the same. Do you want to attain spiritual health? Do you want to maintain it? Do you want to prevent spiritual diseases? Then you must have sound doctrine. And not just once or twice a year like a dental checkup. Daily is what I prescribe. Now, what about that word doctrine? To some people, that's a pretty harsh word, frightening word. I don't believe it's a real popular word these days. And that's why I picked it. We're not courting popular favor with this ministry. We want to reach out to the true believers who are interested in sound doctrine. Now, that word doctrine is misunderstood by many. The worldly definition of it from Webster's Dictionary would have you to think of the major tenets of one's system of belief. So when we speak of sound doctrine, we would be thinking of the major truths that one must have down. Well, some of that is implied in the Greek word, but that really doesn't capture the essence of it. The word doctrine in the Greek refers to that which must be taught authoritatively. Now, certainly the key tenets must be taught authoritatively, but God would have us to teach all of His word authoritatively. What's in view here is not just some selective truths. What's in view here is the authoritative presentation of all of God's truth. Now, put the two ideas together, sound doctrine. Hygienic, authoritative teaching of God's truth. It's a beautiful picture. I'll always remember the moment when that name came to me. My wife and I were visiting a church where our family's going to relocate in Nevada, and they had a huge overhead screen. The pastor was talking about some passage in Scripture, and they put that passage up on the screen, and there it was. Now, my wife and I had been talking about this ministry. I asked her, did she have any ideas for any names for it? And she said, no, and I didn't either. And we'd been talking about this ministry and planning it for months and months. I'd been praying and praying, and I had thought about many procedures for the ministry and many ways to set it up. But through it all, I had never come up with a name. Now, my wife's a great concept person, and when I asked her if she had an idea for a name, I thought for certain she'd have some idea. No, she was blank. Well, we had talked about it, I think, just the previous day, Saturday. Sunday, we go to this church. We're sitting there. The overhead lights up. And there, twice in the passage, was the phrase, sound doctrine. I nudged my wife. You know how you do that in church. I whispered in her ear, look up there, honey. There's the name of the ministry. She goes, where? And I said, sound doctrine. And she turned to me and gave me one of those looks. Her eyes just lit up, and I knew that was confirmation. Well, sound doctrine is our name. What's in a name? An awful lot, and I hope you understand even more after this discussion so far. Now, some could say you're dooming a ministry to failure with such a name. For according to God's word, sound doctrine is not going to be popular. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Now, God declares this in His Word, so it's true. 2 Timothy 4, 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You want to know something else about our name, sound doctrine? Well, then know this. We're never going to say just what itching ears want to hear. We are going to declare the truth of God's word, no matter how unpopular it becomes. Now, make no mistake about it. Those days spoken of in 2 Timothy are here. The time has come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And yes, they are heaping up all sorts of teachers and teachings to say what their itching ears want to hear. I want to present sound doctrine. I want to present the hygienic truth authoritatively taught from God's Word, the only truth that can truly help you attain spiritual health, preserve spiritual health, and prevent disease and destruction. Look around. I think within the Christian community, we are reaping the destructive results of forsaking sound doctrine. I see Christians who are not living victorious lives. I see Christian marriages that are limping along at about the same rate of divorce as the secular world experiences. I see Christian children not being raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And thus we see teen rebellion, again, almost on the same scale as that of the world. Listen to what else is said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Well, let me go back to verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth, and turn aside to myths. Think about myths for a moment. Made up, man-made explanations that are not true. Verse 5, I hear verse 5 calling to me. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And then we have Paul's example. He states, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what I want to be able to say at the end of my life. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. No, I don't believe sound doctrine will be popular. I know Scripture's true. The time will come and has come when many, most you could say, will not put up with sound doctrine. But I hope there's some of you out there who are ready to put up with sound doctrine. Well, let's go on and look at some more ideas behind this ministry of sound doctrine. The subtitle of this ministry would be Reaching the Found. Sound doctrine, : Reaching the Found. Does that surprise you a little bit? Everybody's heard the phrase reaching the lost. What is this reaching the found business? Well, it's our Great Commission. Everybody knows reaching the lost is a part of our Great Commission. Not too many know that reaching the found is just as much a part of the Great Commission. Go with me to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, giving us our marching orders. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And, a lot of people forget about this and phrase, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, within the structure of these two verses, our commission is clear. There's one central clause. It's make disciples. That's what the church is to be about. That's why the Lord left us here on this earth, for one purpose: to make disciples. Think about all the time and effort churches spend in other pursuits these days. We are to make disciples. We are to be fishers of men. Around that central clause are three subordinate clauses in the verses we read. All of these clauses are commands, and they have present tense imperatives involved. They all are ing words. Be going to people to make disciples, be baptizing them, and be teaching them. Now, when most speak of missions, they think of the first two clauses, going to people with the gospel and baptizing them when they commit to the gospel message. Do you realize that teaching is part of missions? In fact, I think it takes a greater percentage of the effort than the other twos combined. We go to the lost, we tell them the gospel, and when they commit, we baptize them. But that only starts the process. We haven't discharged our duties until we are teaching them to obey everything the Lord has commanded. Now, can you see that's going to take some time? Teach them to obey everything the Lord has commanded. This links back to the word disciples. Now imagine this. The Lord is giving clear commands to the church at the moment when he's about to send up to heaven. And these are his last clear directives to us. And what does he say to the church? Make. And then what's the next word? One word is going to capture what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord says, I want you to make blank. Now, what word did God pick in the Greek there? It's the word that we translate disciples. Do you know what's at the heart of that word? Teaching. A disciple is a follower, and the Greeks had lots of words for followers. But this particular word for disciple speaks of a follower who is always being taught, always learning more and more from their master, thus able to follow closer and closer. Again, there were a lot of Greek words that would speak of followers. This particular Greek word, translated disciple, has at its heart the idea of a follower who is being taught and who is obeying more and more as they grow in the knowledge given to them from their master. Notice that Matthew 28:20 does not say, teach them God's word, or teach them about what I've commanded you. It's very specific. Be teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's not enough just to know the truth. It's not enough just to know the commands the Lord has given us. Those who teach God's word must do so with exhortation. We must always be applying God's word to the believers' lives. That's what we try to do here at Sound Doctrine. We don't just teach you God's word. We are striving to teach you to obey everything the Lord has commanded. These are not just interesting thoughts. These are not suggestions or hints from the Lord. These aren't even just biblical principles, as so many are fond of saying. These are clear, specific commands, and we are to obey all of them. We are to apply these truths to our lives today. We here at Sound Doctrine teach the hygienic Word of God with authoritative presentation, with an eye always toward the listener obeying and applying these commands in their daily lives. What's in a name? There's an awful lot in our name. Sound Doctrine. I hope you think about these thoughts every time you hear that phrase Sound Doctrine or see it on one of our tape labels. Remember, it's not just enough for missions to go and reach the lost. Once those lost people commit to the gospel, the process starts, and we must continue in our missionary work to be reaching the found. We must be teaching them to obey everything the Lord has commanded. Please remember, committing to the gospel, handing your life over to Jesus Christ, is not the end of the matter. It's the start of a glorious, wonderful process. And the Lord has given us clear marching orders on how that process is then to proceed. The believer must constantly be being taught to obey everything the Lord has commanded. That's a lifelong process. Now, I know our listeners are at varying levels of maturity, but please remember, you never outgrow the need for sound doctrine. Sometimes you may be hearing new truths, new presentations that you've never been clear on before. That's great. Other times, you'll be being reminded of clear, basic truths that you already knew. But you know what? We always need to be reminded of those basics also. This is a glorious process. We are being taught God's Word constantly, every believer. And as we are in the Word, it works on us, it changes us, it transforms us. Remember Romans 12:2? Stop being conformed to the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed, metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. When you commit to the gospel, you start a wonderful, glorious, lifelong process. Listen to Paul speak of this in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Commitment to the gospel, salvation, begins that good work. But it must be carried on, and that is done by the believer constantly being taught to obey everything the Lord has commanded. Now, this doesn't sound too inviting to some people. Being taught to obey everything the Lord has commanded doesn't sound too inviting at all. Well, I hope it is. The Lord Jesus Christ said over and over in John chapter 14 and 15, those who obey me, love me. Those who love me, obey me. This is a wonderful process. We are growing in love for Jesus Christ as we are being taught to obey more and more of his word. If you love him, you'll want to obey him. As you obey him, you'll be showing your love for him. As you're being taught to obey him more and more, you will be growing in your love for him. Please remember always, ours is not a religion. Ours is a relationship. Now, this connection between love and obedience is very clear in Scripture, but nowhere is it stated any clearer than in 1 John 5. Listen to the first three verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God. Get ready. This is love for God. Here's God's word saying clearly. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And don't miss the last part. And his commands are not burdensome. It's not a chore to obey our Lord Jesus Christ. How could it be a chore to obey the one who hung on a cross for you? Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to know how I can best obey him, serve him, and show him my love back in return. We love because he first loved us. And if you want to know how to love Jesus Christ, this is love, to obey his commands. That's what we're about here at Sound Doctrine. We want you to have the sound teaching of God's Word as a part of your life to promote health, to promote a strong spiritual health. And we want to fulfill the Lord's clear commands to his church to make disciples. We want to be going to people. We want them to hear the gospel and commit to it through baptism. And then we want to be constantly teaching them to obey everything the Lord has commanded because we love the Lord. We want others to grow in their love and obedience to their wonderful Lord and Master Jesus Christ, their Savior who hung on a cross for them. There's a good work that Christ began in you, and we want to help carry it on to completion. It's as simple as that. Well, we get our clear marching orders from Matthew 28, especially verse 20, but we get our mandate from Titus 1:9. Did you catch that in the opening announcements to this show? We get our mandate from Titus 1, verse 9. Listen to what that verse declares. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Who's this he being spoken of in this verse? Well, this verse is in a most important position. God places this verse as a summation to culminate a section on elders. the Lord Jesus Christ has put elders in charge of his church here on earth, but he has given some clear qualifications that elders must meet. And then here in verse 9 of Titus, he's given a summation of what they must be about. Those who would lead and build up the Lord's church here on this earth must do what this verse says. Now, there are three components to this verse. First, the trustworthy message must be firmly held on to as it has been taught. Oh, so many are teaching that which has never been taught before in the churches. Please, we must hang on to the trustworthy message. And there's a purpose for this. It's the second point of the verse. So that others can be encouraged by sound doctrine. Only the sound, hygienic, authoritative teaching of doctrine can build up the believers, can encourage them, can edify them, can counsel them. And finally, please note that that will involve refuting those who oppose sound doctrine. That makes up the third clear point of this verse. Well, there you have it. What's in a name? In the name sound doctrine is the Lord's command to be reaching the found, to be teaching them to obey everything the Lord has commanded. There is the admonition to hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that we can encourage others with sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it.